Next Sunday, again, will be Father's Day. And so I would just like to challenge the fathers this week, going forward to next Sunday. May this be a week of that we will fast and pray for the children of our nation. I know Father's Day is normally can be it's all a celebration of dads, you know, which is awesome. But it's actually fathers to step up to the plate this week and spend time praying for the children of our nation. Pray for your children, your grandchildren. You might have a specific ones that you want to list also to pray for. And the fasting itself, you decide on how you want to fast. That's up to you, whether you're going to fast a meal, you're going to fast a certain food, you know, you're going to eat wholesome food like Daniel did, just maybe eat fruits or whatever you want to do, give up your meat for this week, whatever it might be, that's a fast. But for us men to intercede and pray for our children, our children can be 10 years old, they can be 100 years old, or 92 years old. To intercede and pray and make a difference. I'll tell you, there's so much turmoil going on right now in the world for the young folks. I mean, they don't know which way to go. They're not sure which way is up. And I like to see us, God likes to see us intercede and pray. And so I know we can do that. So if you would do that this week, it would be an awesome thing. If you have any questions about it, let me know. Or how do we pray? Let me know. And ladies, you can do the same thing. I'm just asking the men to do that. This is what God laid upon my heart. You got to turn your mic on there, honey.
The Bible says that in the end days, He would turn the hearts of the children toward the fathers.
Amen. Amen. But I was talking earlier about standing on the Word of God and believing in it and for His Word to be true. And so I just want to share a little thing that I did this past week. That's how I stood on it. And then we'll get into a little bit more of in the book of James. But knowing God's Word, being obedient to His Word, and knowing that He'll come through for you. And for the last couple of years, it's not earth-shattering, but I've been having trouble with my ride mower. Yes. And I've been duct taping it and everything you think of, keeping it going. I mean, duct tape, wiring it together and stuff. And of course, last year my wife said, yes, you get a new one. Nah, give me one more year. And so this year we started off again, had to put a belt on it, and got it running, and started mowing with it twice, and it broke down. And, I mean, I'm not a mechanic, but the clutch went out. It's the radiator. And I said, well, okay. I got two choices, Lord. Either I go down the Myers from out home and borrow their John Deere rider. And I know you want me to do that, Lord. I'd be stealing. Or purchase one. And because I mean, go out and buy one. And so instead of running out and buying one right away, I started researching. Now, there's a certain tractor out there that's green in color. I love them things. I always wanted one, you know? And as I started researching stuff, and I went around a couple of places to get on and get off, I found out that one wasn't really the best for my way I get on off the tractor. So I found a different one. It's a Cub Cadet. And I thought, oh, wow. But instead of running out and buying one, I just started praying. I said, God, I need your wisdom, you know, because my last mower is 25 years old. And if I get another one suitable like that, I'll be 88 years old before I buy my next one. And it might be a hoverboard by then, you know what I'm saying?
Jesus.
And so I started talking to the guy down in Zanesville, American Power. I'm not doing a commercial here. But emailing back and forth. And I find one online and ask him about it, and he'd tell me about it and go back and forth. And I found this one, man, I just love. I mean, it was $6,800. I thought, man, oh, man. I mean, it was just, wow. We're about 1,200 pounds, you know. I thought, man, I could drive around Plainfield way in the miles, and they'd be envious of me, you know. But you know what? I wanted that one, but I didn't need that one. Okay? I mean, the mower deck was so big on it, if I mowed it, it'd be plowing almost on the side of the hill. So, I kept thinking, okay, God, what else? So I kept going through it. I'll shorten this up. This is a 3-week process. And on a Friday, I emailed the gentleman back, and I said, this is what I want. And I think I do. And it was $3,800, which, I mean, that's a lot of money. To me, that's a lot, lots of money. Well, I told Carol, I just don't know. She said, go get it. And so, still praying about it. And Saturday night, this fellow emailed me. He said, I got one discounted. $1,200 cheaper. I said, I'll be down Monday. So Carol and I went down. Before we went down, we prayed, God, give me wisdom. I don't want to go down there and just buy it because, oh, I'm going to fall in love with it, you know. And we went down there, and this place is a humongous place. I think it is for tractors, garden tractors. And a lot of people were there. But who was standing? I had no idea I was going to be there at that time. Standing by that mower is the guy who owns the place who I've been talking to. Oh, wow. And I sat down on it, and within 5 minutes, confirmation that that's the one. And somebody bought it. And I just shared that saying that even though I wanted it, and I want to say, you know, I need it. I still seek the Lord and let Him guide me. And what was inside of me was, God, I know as I tithe off of all I have, I give offerings. So Your Word says You meet my needs. And so I know my needs met. So let me find my need and not my want. You know, if I went down for my wants, I'd have that $6,800 one bringing home, and it'd be too big for me. But as I talk with the Lord, He guided me. And I just want to share that with, no matter what situation that you're in, seek Him and listen to Him. And if you don't have to be, take your time. Some things you might have to do right now. But take your time, seek the Lord, and let Him guide. Because, man, I was ready to buy, but when I went down, I said, God, just show me. If I get down there, and this isn't it, I don't want to buy. And, man, within 5 minutes, He just confirmed it in my heart. So, and the funny part of it now, you know, God says, meet all your needs. We call my mower, our mower, she even drove it, okay? We call it the Trumpmobile. Because we use a Simmons package to pay for it. So, I mean, didn't have to go anywhere else, get the money and stuff, or go here and just count that account. So I just think it's awesome how God works. So I just want to encourage you, as we follow Him and believe in Him and seek Him, He will. We'll listen. He'll guide us, you know. Sometimes we get anxious to get into things, you know. And where it took my time, you know. The one thing the Scripture says is, don't be unequally yoked. Okay, meaning that Christian with Christian, anything that you do. So if you're going to start a company up today, let's say Daryl. No, Bob, pick on Bob today. Bob Clark is going to start a fishing worm farm, okay? And he's going to start raising fishing worms and selling them, okay? Of course, Bob is a Christian man, so he's going to tithe off his business, okay? But man, he needs a bit more money, okay? So he comes to me. Hey, Starkey, I need $10,000 to, I don't know how you breed worms, to get my worm farm started, okay? But I am not a Christian. As he speaks to me, you know, talk to the Lord, man, are you a Christian? Well, I've been in the church. I went to church when I was a kid, you know. But do you follow Jesus now? No. He said, oh, well, I appreciate it, but I'll have to go somewhere else to find a partner. Okay? You think, wow, there he is. I mean, I got the money in hand. Yeah, I'll start this warm business. But he doesn't go in partnership with me because we have two different views. Because Bob knows, as he gives himself and gives his company, he's going to honor God, and that company is going to go, grow, grow. But me, possibility, with me not being a Christian, I ain't tithing off this thing. I want all that money. Them are my worms, you know. They don't belong to God. They're mine. And next thing you know, the company would not flourish like it should because Bob is unequal yoke. But he goes over here to Steve Lee, And Steve says, 10,000, I'll give you 20,000. Let's get the thing started. Man, I love the Lord also, you know. And we'll take the proceeds above what we make, and we'll give it to Pastor Peter. We're going to sow it over here. And he just takes all, I mean, you'd be the king of worms, you know what I'm saying? But I know. But what it is that you want to honor God in whatever you do. Yeah, you can sell them to Joshua Thompson. Or Mason back there. I seen Mason catching a couple nice fish here lately. So yeah. But again, we get excited in things that's coming available to us. But always make sure, Lord, show me. Is this what you want me to do? Yeah. Sometimes we'll say, well, God, who? Oh, we'll pick on Daryl. Daryl said, well, who should I marry? God, tell me who should I marry? Well, he won't tell you. He'll never tell you who to marry, but he'll tell you what type of person to marry. Okay? God, should I have this job? You know, he won't tell you which job to take. He'll show you what job you should have and how to honor God in that. And then as we study his word, we know whether this job that we're looking for would honor him, or whether it be detrimental to him, you know. Because he gives a lot of free will, but we seek his guidance, our free will aligned with his will, and we'll find be a lot better in our lives. So I just want to share that a moment as we go through that. So, yep, the old Trump mobile. So, I hope on the next one I'll get a wagon. I'll have you all out for a hayride. So, amen. Yeah, I know. But, you know, the scripture we were plowing in now, and we stepped into it last week there for a moment, was James 4:8. And we're talking about us to submit therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And we really emphasize the part when it says submit to God, it means to place yourself under God's authority. Wow. Remember, he wants to be Lord over life. The only way he can truly be our Savior, if he's our Lord, and that is to follow what he says to do. And I think that helps a lot, just looking at that part of it, because we've all tried to do our lives a certain way. We've tried sincerely trying to do something different. We want to do this. And the days that we say, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but that kind of puts a kink in the plans that God has for us. Amen? I think we all threw kinks in there once in a while. But when we put ourselves under his authority and knowing that he only has the best for us, we can follow him. Go back to my wife. I'll pick up my wife again. She makes these drinks every morning. I'm not sure what's in them. I don't want to know what's in them, okay? I mean, it's all kind of stuff she buys and puts it and mixes it up. But I know she only wants the best for me. So I can drink them. And most times they taste really good. And the only reason I won't taste it, she put flavors in it for me, you know. If you ever drank raw spinach before, I don't really suggest that. But I know, I trust her. I know she only wants the best for me. So I can drink this thing down and know, okay, it's best for me. Even though I might not particularly care for a certain taste. And folks, when we look at the Word of God, we got to say, I know he only wants the best for me. He only wants the best for me. I'm going to do it. Amen? Amen. I'm going to do it. And we were in Ephesians last week, but I just want to pull out one little part of Ephesians today. Ephesians 4:27. And it's a great way when we talk about resisting the devil. How to get the devil out of your house. You know the best way to get the devil out of your house? Yes! Don't let him in! Yes! Amen! Yes! In verse 27, do not give the devil an opportunity. Wow! Man, oh man. Did you ever get him in your house before? I mean, not him himself, but you know, well, maybe you have, I don't know. But do you ever get stuff in your house going on that, man, how did it ever happen? Maybe he's trying to be nice to somebody, and they came in. And one of them people that you bite into, you just can't get rid of them, okay? But man, there's stuff in you. Okay, we learn from that, right? Amen? We learn, watch out. If you're coming into my, you're right in front of me today, buddy, I'm going to pick on you. I'm going to check them already to break just for a second, okay? If you're coming to my house, me and my wife, I'm going to let you spend time with us, okay? I'm going to make sure that you're coming in and you're not going to be anything detrimental to my wife. Amen? Okay? That's my first obligation in my house, other than God. I mean, we just take that as granted. God is my wife. Everything I do is to protect my wife. She is my wife. And so, even though it might hurt your feelings, if you're going to be detrimental, whatever it might be, you're not coming in. Okay? Because if I let you in, I might never get you out. Now, I'm not talking in the physical realm, okay? Listen to me, guys. In the spiritual realm, when you let things into our house, and think how they get here. Oh, I remember now. It was that movie I brought in, or this person I came in, and I laughed at this joke. We open ourselves up to demonic forces. Okay? I'm not scaring anybody here. But that's where we're in a spiritual battle. And so, the simplest thing it says here, don't give the devil an opportunity. So what kind of opportunity does he need to get in your house? I mean, you can't answer. Don't answer out loud. What have, in the past, has he fooled you with to get into your house? Ever been fooled before? Oh, yeah. You think you're doing the right thing, man, and next thing you know, wow, you get slapped. Probably because we didn't take the moment and say, okay, God, is this of you? Because what we fall into a lot is that we know as Christians we are full of love. Should be full of love. And our desire is to help people and show God's love, right? Amen? But at the same time, we realize that, okay, God gave us a spirit of discernment. Is that available to us? And we can help people without putting ourselves in jeopardy. Amen? I mean, we pray for folks all the time. Pastor Peter over in Africa, we pray for him. And we pray for those around. There's a lot of witch doctors and stuff over there, okay? In fact, Pastor Peter's daddy was a witch doctor. Yes, yes. And he got born again. But we pray for the witch doctor to be born again, but we do not invite them into our houses, right? Yeah, do you want them to come in your house? I don't. No, no, no. So we can still do what the Lord has called us to do, to love one another, love your enemies, love your neighbors. At the same time, protecting ourselves and our household. But don't give the devil an opportunity. Now, I'm not sure what I'm talking about right now. I've had a sabbatical on Facebook, and the news, hardly anything. I just listened to my missus a little bit. My brain took a break for 30 days. But somewhere, where's that siege at? That's Seattle, Washington, okay? 7 blocks now. Seattle, Washington, these anarchies have taken over a part of the city. And now it's 7 blocks. It was 6 blocks. It's 7 blocks. It's an anti-police zone. It's chaos. The demand there, it's anarchy what it is. And the powers in charge won't do nothing. Think of that. The powers in charge, they had the police department abandoned. Oh, no, don't do nothing. Get out. Now it's 7 blocks. Will be 8 blocks tomorrow? 9 blocks? And my question would be, I don't know what this area is, but is there kids live in that area? Is there the elderly folks in there? Look what's happened. Somewhere, when this started, someone gave the devil an opportunity. Otherwise, someone came in there and did something. Instead of squishing it, stopping it, getting it out, well, I don't want to offend nobody. Look at it now. Look at the price that other people are paying today, right now. Because the devil is given an opportunity. And what we need to do, we need to learn from this. We may offend people. We may offend people when we say, no, not in my house. Okay? We might offend people when we say, hey, listen, not in my community. But are we afraid to be offended? No. If we're doing what God has called us to do. When he says, don't give the devil an opportunity. Folks, we see the world, we see the United States the way it is now. We gave him more and more opportunity, more and more opportunity. We turn our backs. And look at this place now. And it's like, anybody ever make Pillsbury dough? You get a tube, I love this thing. You get this tube, you peel back, you take it, and you hit it on the side of the counter, and boom, it blows up. Have you ever done that and then try to get back in the tube? I think it's impossible. I don't have enough patience to get it back in the tube. And that's what we're at right now. This thing, over the years, has grown and grown. And evil has been taken over. It exploded. And try and get that thing back into the tube. Try and get it squished. It's almost impossible. Almost impossible. But we will learn from the scripture saying, do not give the devil an opportunity. And we start with ourselves. Amen? Start with ourselves. And recognize, man, what kind of opportunity did I give the devil? I mean, when do I open the door up for him? Not knowingly. Now, John 10 says that Satan comes to what? Awesome. So I know that's what he's coming for. When he knocks on the door, he's only going to bring one thing. Steal, kill, and destroy. Ah, I know, but I shouldn't do this. Okay, the minute you say I shouldn't do this, what should you do? Not do that. Yes, yes. Again, this resisting part. Again, God's trying to show you it's not as hard as it sounds if you start at the very beginning of it. The minute you hear him, Satan, knock on the door. If you shut the door, don't open the door. Close the window, pull the curtain, whatever it is. It's not that you're running from the devil. You want nothing to do with him. Amen? To recognize these things. Oh, man, don't give him a foothold, he says. Don't. And life itself will be able to spend more time doing what God's called us to do. Anybody ever do any trapping? Okay, we're trapped and stuff, okay. You take a fox who likes to eat mice. And I used to trap fox, okay? I caught more skunks, possum, and dogs than I ever did fox, okay? And I don't like mice. Don't like it. They destroy stuff. They get in your feed bins and stuff. But in order, the fox is out there hunting mice. And they're fun to watch. You ever watch them out in the field? They're like a cat almost. A fox and jump to get down like this. And you go, boy, that's amazing. But when he gets in a trap, he can't do nothing until he gets out. I mean, he'd be in a trap and all these mice would be running around and whatever mice say, you know what I'm saying? And that fox would have a desire, I'm telling you what. But the only way that he can do anything about that is to get out of the trap. Fox are smart. If they get bit by a trap, it's almost impossible to catch them. So what do? The next time you set two traps up. Yeah. Because you put the food here, you trap bait, old possum guts or whatever you're using. You bury the trap, okay? Then you put urine over top of it, anyway, to cover up the scent. So when they smell it, they remember, uh-huh. So they come around from a different angle. Well, over here, you put a trap, bury it, but you don't set it. Or you don't put bait on it. And you catch them. Now, I've had to use three traps before, finally, to catch a fox because he kept getting out, But finally got a hold of him. If he would have learned the first time, when I smiled at, I went out and do it because I almost took my life and leave it alone and just ate the mice, man, his life would be awesome. But he never learned from it. And so us, we want to learn from it. Have you ever been in a trap? You ever get yourself trapped in it? Satan gets a hold of you, or you just, man, you're just surrounded by it? Man. And you want to be different. You want that peace. You want that joy. You just want that. Man, I want to be able to raise my hand and worship God. I got so much on my head right now. How'd you get in the trap? What did Satan use to deceive you? For most of us, he pulls at your heartstrings. He distorts the scripture just enough to make you feel guilty. What we call tough love. Oh, you love them. Oh, yes. Remember, God tells us, do not spare the rod. Spare the rod, you spoil the child. Otherwise, if you don't discipline your children out of love, you'll ruin them, is what he's saying. But you recognize, oh man, they did it again. Every time they say the same thing, they get to me. For some parents, they blame you for their life today. It's your fault. No. Listen, they're adults. Amen? They are. They're adults. They can't blame you for their life. Because the same God that rescued me rescues them. But time and time we find ourselves back in this trap, back in this thing of depression, back in this chokehold that Satan puts on us, trying to put guilt on us. And we got to recognize that. Don't give Satan an opportunity. Hey, if you raise your kids and you messed up raising them, say it. Hey, boy, I messed up when I raised you. You know what I'm saying? I should have walked more with the Lord. Okay? Forgive me. God has forgiven me. And that's it. Now, he can either forgive me and seek God for himself, or he can say, oh, I'll hate you, Dad, till the day I die. I ain't going to be able to change that. Okay? He ain't going to use that. If he comes to me tomorrow and says, well, Dad, if you were a different one when I was growing up, hey, I wasn't. Get over it. Amen? Amen? Because you have a Father in heaven who wants a relationship with you through His Son, Jesus. He'll give you what you need. And that's support, that's strength, that's wisdom, salvation. He'll give it to you. Yes. See? Knowing what the Word of God says. Hey, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So yes, I'm proof. Living proof that we all have sinned and fallen short. But also I'm proof that God forgives, that God restores, He strengthens, reconciles us. But recognize how you get in that trap and sit buried around it. Go back to speaking the Word of God. Speak it out. Whatever it might be. Maybe you have a tough time with relationships, maybe. Maybe you keep falling for the wrong woman or the wrong guy. Why is it, God? Well, I always said before, if you go on bass fishing, don't get in a bluegill pond. Because you ain't going to keep a bluegill, right? Get into the bass pond. Well, if you're following Jesus and you're looking for a spouse, you go to the Jesus freak area. Amen? Amen. I mean, oh yeah. But again, it's just that simple. It is looking at the Word of God. And when He says, like I said earlier, don't be unequally yoked. Okay. That'd be a priority. If I'm going to be involved in a partnership, whether it be marriage, whether it be a business. Now, we're talking partnerships. We're not talking about employers. Okay? I mean, if here I am, I'm a heathen, and I got an opportunity for employment, and it's not illegal, number one, okay? And Daryl comes to me looking for a job. Well, I can employ him because he has, I have no bearing on his finances. Amen, that I'm an employer. Okay? So it doesn't matter whether I tithe or not. I'm not going to interfere with your finances. The only thing that might happen is that I could get bankrupt. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm doing things according to the heathen way, okay? But your God is still your God. And as you honor him and then that employment, if this door closed here, what's he going to do? Open another door up. And I'm telling you, as you honor him. That's the main thing, man. In the middle of our storms, we honor him, bring him glory, and say, okay, I'm going to take you over here. I'm going to take you out of the small storm and put you in a bigger storm. Okay? But the small storm, he's in a rowboat. Okay? But this time, the big storm, you're going to be in a yacht. Because I'm going to take care of you. Can you make it through the storm? A yacht can handle more of a storm than a rowboat. Okay? Because he knows it will bring him honor and trust him. And trusting in him, what he wants us to do. But do not give the devil an opportunity. And sometimes, again, going back to be honest with God, how did I get here again, God? And he'll tell you. He'll show you. I mean, if you do it with an attitude not blaming God, like, God, everything started following you. Look at my life. And God said, well, you're not following me 100%. Well, maybe that could be the case. Remember what you did here and here? Yeah. But when you follow him 100%, the good news is you're going to be persecuted, hated, people going to turn their backs on you. Yes, yes, yep. But we can learn from history, and we see how things are taking place in Seattle by just giving the devil an opportunity. And look how what's going to take now to squash that. It's probably going to take the military, you know. We hate to see that take place, to have our own military come in. If you read the book of Exodus, I read this the other day, it really spoke to me. As we look at submitting to God. Oh, book of Exodus. I ought to give you a chapter probably. We can break it down. Chapter 17. There's a lot of good learning in this, in chapter 17 of Exodus. I'm going to start with verse 1. Because it may always be that when we hear the word of God, it's, okay, God, help me learn something from this. Teach me, strengthen me, or renew what I already knew, I forgot already. Show me how others acted before me. In verse 7, in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink." Now, I'll give you a heads up. Moses is leading the people. They have been set free. They yelled out to God in Exodus, and they were set free after the 10 plagues and stuff. Man, they're headed towards the promised land. Oh, my lands. Everything hunky-dory. You've seen the Red Sea parted, I'm telling you. But you find out there's no water for them to drink. "Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why now have you brought us up here from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?'" Ah. Now, who delivered them from Egypt? God did. Who parted the Red Sea? God did. It wasn't Moses. Moses was just an instrument. See, I don't think they were recognizing God had brought them this far. Look how quick they were turning on the man of God. In fact, they were blaming him for the misfortune. Now, I don't know how tough-skinned you are, but what would you use somebody to blame you? nothing to do with them. You might have that attitude, I have nothing to do with them. But when you know that you're following God and you're doing what God called you to do, and you know some people won't recognize that, even though they need what you're doing or what you're saying, you don't please God, and you will not, you continue to follow God for the people. Otherwise, you won't be so easily offended. So after they accused Moses, in verse 4, so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me. Then the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff, with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So even though when they raised against him, he went to God, hey God, what do we do to these people? You know, you haven't bring them out here. You want me to water them? We're going to let them dry up. I'm just paraphrasing here, you know. You got to, now you got some witnesses here, the elders. People have faith in me. The ones aren't grumbling about me. You go up here and strike the rock. Look what God did. He brought water. He gave him water. Now, how many more things that God has to do to the people to have faith? I don't say do to the people, do for the people. How much more would it take for them to finally have faith in Jehovah? To believe there's a God in heaven, he loves me, he cares for me, and I follow him and listen to him, he's going to provide my needs. How much more is there? Wow. So, in our life, right now, how much more does God have to do for us to convince us to follow him, surrender it all, and trust in him? Now, they got thirsty, right? But didn't he give them water? It sounds like they got water when they asked for it. They went to Moses, hey Moses, I'm thirsty. Okay, well, don't get upset. Who brought you here so far? God. Well, let's have a prayer circle. Let's seek the Lord and say, God, thank you. We want to thank you, God, you brought us through. We saw the 10 plagues. We've seen the Red Sea divided. We saw our enemies wiped out. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, my. And Lord, you bring us to the promised land. Thank you. Your word is great. But you know what? We are thirsty. And I know you say, ask, you shall receive. No, we said that afterward in the New Testament, but this is us speaking. And the petition of the Lord, and there it is, water. So, maybe it goes back to earlier before we started today, was does doing good to grumble about anything? No, it don't. But when we have a problem, we all have problems, problems will come against us. I won't claim them, but they'll come against us. Find the Word of God, stand on it. Hey, God said to meet all my needs. Woo! To the rich and glory of Christ Jesus, I give everything. Wow. See, we all want the blessings of God, right? Every one of us do. But do we want the discipline from God? That's the difference. Is that some doesn't want, some won't receive it. Some, because of our fear, not enough faith, I don't know. But if God says to do something in here, there is nothing you need to do to pray about it. But God says, God says, don't be unequally yoked. Okay, well, God, I don't know. I'm going to pray about this because I know Chuck's not a Christian. I'm going to start this hog farm and get rid of the cattle. But God, I tell you what, he's just, yeah, I think he'd make a good partner. He's smart. He knows math. I know how to feed pigs. I'm going to pray about it. What has he already told me to do? Don't be unequally yoked as partners. Now, Chuck can employ me, but I don't have to pray about it. He's already told me that. Amen? I mean, when there's something in here that he's already told us to do, we don't pray about, well, I'll see what I'm going to do. We might pray, God, give me the strength to do it. Amen? That's it. God, I want that faith. I'm going to step out here, God. I don't understand how this is going to work. But I know that you only want the best for me. Now, I'm not going to give the devil an opportunity. I'm not going to deny God in my life, in this particular part. Because not to trust God, I truly believe that is a sin. I truly believe that's where a lot of problems come from. We go so far, but we don't go all the way. You ever go to a haunted house? I've been to one years ago. Come on, guys, let's go down there. So we take off for Trinway. It lives in Montgomery's house, I think it is, yeah. Is that her name? Isn't it? Bewitch's mother. Agnes Moorhead. Yes. Yeah, her mother. We all take off and go down there. Yeah, let's go through. And you go through the creepy district before they remodel. I mean, this is years ago when it was falling in. Still shouldn't have been there. 18 years old. Yeah. That was when it was still falling apart, okay? So we go down there, 18 years old. I think Mr. Fletcher with me. Where is he at today? Yeah, okay, I won't drag him into my sin. But we went to take off and go down there. Yes, all pumped up. By the time we get down there, only three of us went in. The rest of them took off. They were not committed. Oh, man. Now, we went through there and we came back all these stories and stuff. Yeah, man, we saw this and we saw that and this and that and the other. They didn't have that. Because they said they were going to do it. But they ran away. Yeah. And so that's where we have to be with the Word of God. Is, man, He says it, we're going to do it. And you know what? On this walk with God, we encourage and strengthen one another, right? Amen? I'm telling you, us three, me, Fletcher, and I think it was Tom Babcock. We went in there, we were like elbow to elbow, man. Like, come on, we can do this. And we strengthen one another, you know, because if some goblin came out of the corner, we would be gone, okay? But we decided we were going to do it, and we did it, and we stuck with each other. We came back out, laughed about it and stuff, you know. And of course, it's been 45 years ago. Now I can tell you, I was scared to death, okay? But that's where we want to be with our walk with God. And it gets scary at times, so you need a partner beside you once in a while. You need a prayer partner, a brother or sister in the Lord to say, man, listen, I'm going through this thing. The Bible says I have no fear. I don't want to have any fear. I won't give the devil a place, but I just need you to pray with me. I just need to hear comforting words, you know, that, man, because we all need to be reminded and encouraged. Wow. So that's what Moses did. Now, just about done. Let's go down now to verse 8. And I'll wrap this up. Is the Lord among us or not? So this water just came out. Boom. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel. And the enemy came. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, H-U-R, went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial, and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heaven. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Otherwise, the Lord will fight our enemies from generation to generation. And what we see, a battle will take place. And Joshua, and we think about him again, fought the battle of Jericho. He was going out to fight the battle. And Moses said, listen, you're going to be on the front line, but I'm back here. I'm going to be praying for you. I have my hands lifted up. I have my staff, my hand of the Lord. I got your back, is what he's saying. And the scripture says that as he had his hands raised, Joshua was shoving the enemy back, shoving him back. But when Moses was getting tired, man, the enemy started shoving Joshua back. So Moses raised his hands again and started winning again, back and forth. And finally, his brother Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, came along and said, hey, let me help you, brother. Let me help you, say. Good boy, Ryan. You're going to be Moses for a second, okay? Put your arms up a second. There you go. Now, he's praising. He's up, and Joshua's winning the battle. Now, he starts lowering his arms. Now, he's getting tired, man. He's because he's still human, okay? And Joshua's now losing. I said, hey, brother, we got to help him out. I just noticed that man, he gets weak. Come on, grab his arm. Grab his arm and get up. I'm sorry, stand up. Raise it up. Let's hold it up, okay? In fact, just like this. Hold it up here. Now, I'm going to support him. I'm coming together with him now. Yes, we're going to help this thing. And as we helped raise his hands up, Joshua, fighting this battle, shoved the enemy back and said, till sunset, otherwise saying he defeated the enemy. But Moses didn't do it on his own. He had to have prayer partners with him, okay? Joshua didn't do it on his own. He had to have prayer partners helping him to fight the enemy. Amen? So, I ask you this today, what enemy have you been fighting? What enemy have you been shoving back, and then you think you got a handle on it, and next thing you know, you're right back in the same territory that you got out of? What trap have you been in, and you almost get that foot out of there, you got one little toe left, yeah, and you smile at the victory, but boom, you're right back again. Just maybe you need a Moses in your life. Just maybe you need an Aaron or Hur to come alongside of you. Maybe you need somebody back here behind you praying for you. See, if the devil can get you to go through your battles by yourself, chances are you're never going to win. Again, I remind you, a third of the angels were with Satan, but two-thirds were with God. I remind you, the Bible says that 1,000, one person in prayer can cause 1,000 demons to flee. Two can cause how many? 10,000. How many can three? 100,000. And four. Check how many four. You're the mathematician here. A bunch of angels. See? And that's why I just trying to encourage you, and God trying to encourage you, that you got to swallow your selfish pride at times. You got to back off of the pride you have and say, I need help. I need help. And folks, it takes a lot of guts to say I need help. Because it takes faith. Quit fighting this battle by yourself. Can you imagine Joshua? You know, young fella. In fact, he takes over from Moses. You know that? He takes over. He actually takes the promised land. Can you imagine? They get this water from the rock. Ah. Moses said, listen, the Amalekites, tomorrow they're going to attack. We got your back. Man, Moses, you're old man. I don't need you, man. Come on. Now look at me. Yeah. Pride's puffing up, and you know, I got it. And Joshua goes out there. Yeah, I'll just walk in place, Bob. That way you won't lose me. And he takes on the army. Yes. And what happens? We know what happened. Defeated. And it wasn't It wouldn't just be Joshua. So what? So he's pig-headed, prideful? He goes out there, I'll do it? Look at all the people. He's going to cost their lives because of his pride. Wow. Oh, let's take Moses for a second. Well, Joshua, I need you to go out and fight that tomorrow. I'm an old man. I just can't do it no more. I don't think I'm really worth anything. So I'm going to sit down here in my chair. Oh, the back. Oh, the arms and legs. Oh, boy, it's tough crossing that Red Sea. There's nothing I can do no more. Joshua, you're on your own. There's Joshua, goes out there with the might. He's ready to destroy the army. What happens? He gets defeated. Why? Now, this is in your Bible, please. I'm just showing an instant here. Why? Because Moses gave the devil a place in his head. That quickly. It wasn't Moses fighting the battle, it was God fighting it through Moses. Yes. It wasn't a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight that Moses' part was in. But he was looking at the physical for a moment, saying, you can't do nothing anymore. Lucifer is the father of lies. The battles that we fight start in the spiritual. Don't let Satan ever get in your head saying, there's nothing you can do. You're too old. Or, hey, you didn't finish high school. Or you didn't graduate there. You didn't. No. That's one thing that God took care of at the cross. And Jesus told us, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you power from above. I'm going to send you a counselor. And he's going to bring back to your remembrance everything that I taught you. So when you're in the middle of that battle, when Satan comes in, and some people quote it as when Satan comes in like a flood, that God are ready to stand up against him. But I always say when Satan comes, like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. And man, the power of God is with you. Again, don't go through by yourself. Prayer partners, someone to talk to, and you're never, ever too old. We all sit in a rocking chair and pray. Amen? Amen. I mean, Abraham, 100 years old, had a kid. I'm not prophesying over you, brother. I'm just telling you. Amen? So don't give him an opportunity to give God everything you have. Let God in your heart, every part of you, surrender it all to him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Woo. Any questions? All right. We'll continue next week on that. But remember, fathers, if you would, or I'll just call the men, to be in prayer and fasting this week for the generations that's growing up, for wisdom and guidance. And look, say, God, is there somebody in particular I could pray for? Or minister to, mentor to, or whatever, mentor. Don't hate the generation that's coming up who are different than we are. Amen? Because, Bob, is my generation different than yours? Yeah, but I never did the sock hop. I never did that, okay? I did the twist. That was right at your generation, okay? My hair might have been longer than your hair at one time, you know what I'm saying? It might have been. But the Spirit of God changed you, and it changed me, and he changes next generation. Just need warriors to be in there praying for their eyes to be open and to love them. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, may he be gracious to you, and may he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. And may that peace go with you outside these doors today. And wherever comes along, may that peace stay with you, knowing that God has got your back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.